Good morning. The passage that we're looking at this morning comes from Psalm 63. I'm just going to read the first 9 verses, but I encourage you to read the whole chapter. So let me start with the first verse. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I love this first verse because it's both literal and a metaphor for life. I don't know if many of you have been to Israel. I have been to Israel a couple times, and it truly is a dry and weary land. The first time was when I was in seminary. I was only 24 years old, and we were in an archaeological dig called Tel Hesi, which is down in the Negev Desert, and it's very dry in that area, very dusty. And if you do archaeology, you become good friends with your ibrik. The ibrik was a clay pot that you would fill with water, and it had a natural little evaporation system the way it was made, and that kept it cool. And you would sip from it all day long to avoid getting dehydrated. Well, many of us still got dehydrated, and they had something called the Hesi cocktail, which was electrolytes, and they ran out of that, and that was one of the reasons we still got dehydrated. Several people were actually hospitalized. About 7 people were. I wasn't hospitalized, but I remember getting a temperature and getting sick. And I remember really feeling like it was a dry and weary land. There was a point in the dig where I was fed up. I mean, the food was the same, rice and eggplant. There was a lot of flies all the time. I uncovered a nest of scorpions, and I actually did see a sidewinding snake that was a pit viper, highly poisonous. And it became a very dry and weary land. As excited as I was to see Israel, the actual dig became very dry and weary. And we even had a fire where some soldiers came through, and one of them threw a cigarette down, and it caused a big brush fire. And we spent a lot of the day putting that fire out. And it was a dry and weary land, literally. But it's also a metaphor for how life can become just like that in a figurative way. And I think in many ways, life has become that for our community and our world. And some of the things I see on the news happening in other countries like South America and new epicenters of this COVID-19 are very disturbing. And our country is in unrest right now because people want to go back to work. And our leaders are not on the same page on how to guide us through this. And so it's a very confusing, difficult time. It's a dry and weary land. And so after David names it for what it is, as he's on the run from his enemies, as God over and over delivers him from his enemies, a 10-year period of his life, he's on the run from Saul in a dry and weary land. And story after story of God coming through for him happens. But he does something that we could learn from. He encourages himself in the Lord. And we see in this psalm how he encourages himself in the Lord. We see how he does it starting with verse 2. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. I love that verse about the night watches. I remember when I got sick with a temperature from the dehydration. It was the middle of the night, and the camp doctor came by and he tried to give me some aspirin or something like that, but I couldn't sleep. And I remember going out of the tent and just sitting in a lawn chair under the stars. And I remember having some time with God, and it was one of the most beautiful experiences I had, even though I wasn't feeling well, because I was meditating on him in the night watches. And to me, that's been a metaphor that stayed with me all through life, that I can always find refuge with him in the night watches, whether it's a nighttime created by the physicality of this earth, or if it's a nighttime that comes from the darkness of circumstances. I can meditate on him in those night watches, in those dark times, and he then becomes my life, and he becomes better than life. I mean, it's just amazing to have this relationship with the living God. And this is what David was excited about, and this is what he's sharing in this psalm. And we as Christians have that through this time in our world. And people in the world are looking for hope, and they're looking for faith. And we have an opportunity to serve God by serving them and bringing them hope. And I know all of you are servants in so many ways. And I know things that you do and have done for others. And if I named them here in this sermon, you would be embarrassed. So I won't do that. But I know that you're constantly giving to others. And you become a light in this dark place, because people say, "How can you think of me or this other person over there and not just of yourself?" Most people are surviving, trying to survive. And yet you are giving love, oftentimes to complete strangers. And that's what God does. He becomes our way maker. You know that song that's on the radio? I love that song. That song talks about how the Lord is here moving in our midst, and how he's working in this place, and how he's a light in the darkness, and how he's touching every heart, and how he's healing every heart, and how he's mending every heart, and how he's turning lives around. And the chorus of the song says, "You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are." If you read Psalm 27, which is another awesome one, David talks how in the midst of his fears and troubles, he seeks to meditate upon the beauty of the Lord. This is what he's doing here. He's meditating on the beauty of the Lord, God's nature and God's character and who God has been to him over and over. Another scripture I like to look to in hard times is a promise that's given in Isaiah 43:2. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." This passage is telling us that God will see us through our most troubling times. He will not abandon us. He's with us, and he is our hope, and we can have hope. I saw a quote this last week on Facebook. It says, "When the world says give up, hope whispers." Yeah, hope whispers. The hope of the Lord whispers. In fact, it shouts. It shouts that he is the way maker, and you can have hope in him. Last week, a Facebook friend of mine, Christine Plant Yokoi, did a post that was very encouraging, and I asked her for permission to share this, and she gave me this permission to read to you this wonderful devotion. So let me read it to you. She says, "These are pretty uncertain times, aren't they? Am I right? Yesterday and this morning, I started feeling hopelessness creep up in my heart. Will life ever be normal again? Will we ever be able to hug people or high five without worrying about getting sick or getting someone else sick? This morning, I told God I needed an answer, a way to battle these dark and despairing thoughts. This is what he led me to. He never loses hope. He never sees only despair. He always sees potential. He always sees light. He always sees hope. So if he doesn't feel hopeless, then I can't allow hopelessness to have a place in my thinking. She then reads Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, which I encourage you to do. And then she ends with this quote, God gives us permission to be hopeless about any situation he is hopeless about. That's a quote by Steve Backlund. Well, God isn't hopeless about any situation. That's the whole point. And so we don't have permission from God to be hopeless. He is our hope. And like David, we can look to him and find our hope in him, because he will never abandon us or leave us, and he will see us through. God is with you. Amen.